Pass it. Okay, we are glad to see many people gathered here. We also recognize that there's a lot of young fathers here. And we are planning to speak somewhat from them, from the book here. When to Say No was one of the books that we had a concern for. One of my assistants at work said, what do we have for young parents? What do we have that is not too hard to read that average readers or even readers who don't choose to read in depth can read and gather something from it? And this is when this idea came up. This idea was not altogether original in our own thinking. We had found one of us just found somewhere at some used bookstore. But we weren't quite satisfied with that, so we chose to print one, and we have had Martha Ann Shirk actually doing all the pictures freehand. And then we had also got her to print some of the, or actually just putting together some of the thoughts. This book I didn't really realize would be such a book that would move. We thought maybe it might be assistance to some people. But when the state laws became a little bit more stringent, as we had heard about last week, we can follow right through with that. There's a concern for the state law that we are careful with how we teach our children and how we guide our children. The question is today, what is right and what is wrong, and at what age is right and what is wrong? And this sometimes is a little bit difficult, so we are going to try to address that subject this morning somewhat. As I had written the introduction, that's how this handout starts off. I had written this introduction of When to Say No. This small book was written for the protection of young children. Even though this book is small, it was written for parents to read to young children so they can learn what is okay and what is not okay. The book was first published in 2009 by Weaverland Publications. It was illustrated and written by Martha Ann Shirk. The Weaverland Publications activity, that would mean the amount of books flowed through, since, as you heard, Glenn, I believe, spoke of, or Grinnell, about that book is, it was printed with the idea of ministry, and it was no charge book. And so it was the publication activity was in 2004 with 13,457 books, which is a sizable amount of books that flowed through. They were mostly free literature to pass out. What really became the subject of this book was some schools chose to take this book, which is When to Say No. It's out here, I think you have them. And give them to each family, that every family would have a book. So among the Amish and Mennonite circles of the Old Order schools, basically all had this book from Lancaster to Wisconsin and Missouri. So that is why that flow increased so greatly there. Where should this be addressed? At home, at school, or outside sources? It is my belief that it should be addressed at home before the children start school. This is something that I think is a very important thing what causes children to seek after something like this? There's a curiosity that arouses within children's lives. And they wonder sometimes why is mother or father somewhat hesitant to allow us to play together sometimes as we would like to? And they begin to have questions. There are some questions that we can't answer our children, just this is how it is and don't ask any more questions. But rather it should be, we will discuss some things and some things we will discuss with you when you are older. When I think the first fourth thoughts that I have here is about things that we like to address at home. Maybe I should say, when we address things like this, we want to be open, and we also want to be clear, but we want to be discreet. I hope this is how it can be used. I think many of us who were raised on farms have experienced this type of teaching somewhat already early in life through the animal kingdom. We can well remember Dad talking to me when I was a very young boy, yet because of our seeing things in the barn that we wondered about. And he addressed that this is now something that is the way of life, but I'm not to be an excited spreader of all the new things I learned. So these were things that we automatically learned. And we have even noticed that in our own home, that this was one of the earlier things that people, young children, learn. I have, as in my opinion, I think at home is the best place to start. Why is at home the best place to start? Anybody who has worked with other people realizes that except you have an acceptance base with people, your words aren't going to mean too much to other people. They first want to know who you are and how far you're going to go with them, or what you're really interested in, and that you really love them and care for them. Otherwise, we probably won't achieve what we plan to achieving. This is when we speak with people on the counseling level. But what do mothers and fathers do? Mothers and fathers need to counsel their children. And this counseling, I think, is something that needs to be started at home. How can you, as young fathers, think of starting to introduce your children to areas that include the reproductive areas of life in such a way that are going to be beneficial for you and your spouse, that you can rejoice together, that what has taken place, the miracle of birth of children being born into the home, and what has taken place as these lives unfolded. I trust there's not one here that would have said, okay, we have a little son or a little daughter, and now it's up to mother whatever she makes out of it. Is that true? No, I do not think that is a very good attitude. We need to be responsible, father and mother together. They need to be counseling together with each other what is going to be, or what we should teach. So let's just look at number one, is how we dress our children. Is it in some way of modesty that can help the child understand by just the way we would prepare them for meeting the challenges round about in the world, and a way of respectful modesty. We are not going to be just saying how that needs to be, but so that it would be in respect of modesty. That is what Jesus really seems to be teaching. He didn't teach about the different types of clothing, but he did say he wanted children to come to him. And it also seemed that Jesus did have no problem having children coming to him. It appears that Jesus loved the children and the children sensed it. So this is one of those first things that, as I guess I will speak it as the young fathers who are here, or even us as grandfathers, that we might address these situations also in our older years. For young men and here and your spouses, it is important that you understand each other in this. And we might just address this later on about even grandfathers need to be aware that children can have the confidence in grandfathers or grandmothers, grandfathers mostly, because sometimes they are betrayed. And a child betrayed finds a very difficult area in their life. Number two is, at an appropriate age, make a distinction between the boys' room and the girls' room. These are things that we teach without teaching, I'll say it this way, instead of saying to our children, now we're going to sit down, I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about life and future things in life. But really, I think when we are discreet, that doesn't mean that boys and girls can't play together, but we are discreet between boys' room and girls' room, and that we don't become reckless and careless about it as parents. We're teaching already. We're teaching something. Sometimes little boys and girls might have a question. Well, why? Why can't we play together? Well, they can play together when they're supervised, but we must be careful that we don't allow too much unsupervised time where someone is looking into their well-being. Not allowing boys and girls wrestling or tickling each other. This sometimes goes on for a little bit, and what happens, boys sometimes develop feelings. Feelings about themselves that they don't understand many times, but it's still there. It's that feeling which develops within, and actually, some of that is a God-given feeling. But we must be careful to understand that when that is left to go by itself, unguarded and untrained, God has also given us a reason to be able to conquer those strong feelings that we need to wrestle with. Men have feelings oftentimes a little bit different than women do. Men understand things one way, and women sometimes seem to understand them another way. But it is very wise for parents to check in and guard on the activities of their children. I recommend more time spent together with them, and whatever time we choose it, we might think, oh, we will take them on an outing. We will take them to the park, or we will take them on a little trip, take them somewhere, and we will have a good time together. And this is great. But why can't we also have a good time together every evening at home, a little bit of a share time together, or in the garden, if there's garden work, that there can be this enjoyment of working together. Providing the appropriate supervision for children's playtime. And I believe very strongly in this portion here, because as we deal with adult men, we find that this is one of the things that they usually talk about, things that were going on that mothers and fathers didn't know anything about. And it shows up hurtful to young people's lives. So we find we don't want to discredit the thought of let them have their time and I'm going for a Sunday afternoon nap, which can be beneficial for us at times, but there still should be an adult supervision going on where children are left to play with each other in the family or with other children from other families. We want to look at the next part is some of the results of what happened during because of curiosity, what can happen? I used four examples. These were examples that were experienced or were brought to our attention. And we find that it's one of those things that causes concern for us. And especially we find that it's not just a concern for us, it's also a concern for the states, which we have heard last week. A young boy invites a young girl to see his puppies. What is wrong with that? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with that. But how should a parent respond? And that is part of the reason of this book. A person should be saying, I need to ask my parents. And if parents are asked, what should parents, how would we as parents respond? Would we just say, okay, that's all right? Or mother say, wait till dad's home and then he can go along down and you can both see them? Because of this reality, this invitation such as this, a reality developed that he was interested in more than just showing the puppies. So it gave a situation that was uncomfortable. So I would like to share with the things that we need to counteract with this. A mother and father should be always aware at the age of the children. I'm not exactly sure on the age of the boy. It was either 12 or 13, and we find that because of his involvement, it caused some hurts for a little girl. We can understand, or we need to recognize this unsupervised timing as this was meant for a good time, but it turned out different. And also the second part, I have another part in A. Actually, I have some extra things written on my papers that you don't have. A young boy plays with his sister, and we find they have a good time while parents were resting or sleeping, and the parents were not aware that anything was amiss. But we find that there was not all things well. And this went on for a number of years before this really surfaced. It often surfaces with girls through the way of emotional disturbance. And of course, when a person deals with someone about her emotional disturbance, this often focuses and comes out as one of the things that have been laying there untold or unsaid for many years. Somehow, within the heart, there's something that says, don't tell anybody. But yet, on the inside, there's something that says, it don't feel right. So we find a girl sometimes is at a very difficult place, and when she has nowhere to go with these thoughts, they become a burden to her. So we find these are some things that I would like to strongly urge that we be careful, that we are faithful, that we try to at least mother or father be paying attention to what is going on somewhere with our children. So even if it takes a little bit away from what we call a sweet Sunday afternoon rest, it's still necessary. We know that beyond, if some of this damage occur and it's so locked up and goes for years before it reveals itself, sometimes there's just a lot of difficulties. One of the difficulties that might arise is, well, can I be saved? Or is there anything that I could do to make this go away without talking to anyone? A person is going to have to be open with someone and talk with them of what has happened, and then we need to try to have an understanding however that's going to be or whatever had happened. As we know, today it is not so pleasant if we need to go through, we are actually through the law to have this settle. And yet, just recently, actually last week, we had a meeting with four of the people from Lancaster County, the probation officer and his assistant, and Robin Boyer and her assistant. We had a visit out at Cumberland County where we work, and we sat down at the table and we discussed things, what we would do in different situations. And so it was actually a planned meeting to try to get two working groups together to understand and do the best. It's like Robin Boyer mentioned, it's not that we're out to try to catch people all we can, but rather her goal was to help people, which we had found was something years ago we had a meeting with her, we came up with a 25-step program that we call our program, which is how to help people work through situations, which had been approved by her at that time. At this time, she has a little bit of a different position, and she cannot approve those always, but it's something that has been spread around, and it's a considered a help for people. We have the second one is when a neighbor man starts to flirt with a young girl. Why would a neighbor man, married man with several children, begin to flirt with a young 13-year-old girl? Because his desires have not been brought to the foot of the cross. This is, we could just stand here and say, they just must have been told it's wrong. But there's something a little bit deeper than just be told it's wrong. We must be told what is Christ-like, or why we think of this as wrong, or why it is wrong. The Apostle Paul, I marvel at his strong applications of arresting people and bringing them to judgments, and yet he says in Romans 7, verse 7, says that, is the law sin? He says, no, the law is not sin. I would not have known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. The law long ago already said, thou shalt not covet. Covet means taking something from someone that doesn't belong to you. And this is exactly what happens even in the subject of moral situations. I see Paul as a relatively clean person in this area. He said the law was not sin to him because it taught him many things. It taught him things like, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not desire to take something that belongs to someone else. We like to talk about the law sometimes in only terms when we speak of some of the things that men sometimes find themselves involved, especially with bestiality and situations like that. And instead of saying the law doesn't allow it, the law of the land, rather, let's go back in the Old Testament and see how God talked about it. And it's very few people will say that they didn't realize that was there. I just asked the question, what happened? They were stoned, the man and the beast. Is that what God thinks of that? God has his animal kingdoms arranged and they seem to keep their proper place. But we find for man it's not always that way. So we want to be aware that this isn't just the law of the land, this is also the law of God. And Paul exercised that law, that he did not choose to take that which didn't belong to him in the morality situation, or this is how we understand it. We find that this secret messaging, we want to be very open with this thought of this was something that was taking place of a man who was older, and the girl was very attractive to him, and also the girl was helping along, actually initiating some of the situations that they got into. It was two families living side by side, very closely attached to each other, doing a lot of things together, but the one husband and the other family's daughter began to doing something that was totally unknown to the other couple. Until sometime later. You can guess about what happened. They are seemingly the worst enemies now. It was such a bitterness after it came out. The man would tell us, but she initiated a lot of this. But what was there to say? You were the adult. You were the person that should have said no. You should have told her father what she's doing. You should have been responsible. You knew that it wasn't right for responding the way you did. So there was just nothing else to do except that he needed to serve some time in prison. And I think today he would say it was good and all right. But there's a lost relationship. It's just something how that we can be such close friends and so great enemies. The Bible tells us we're not to be enemies with each other. Therefore, we need to always be on our guard. If anything, we will say it this way, if anything like this starts in anyone's life, it don't just start because we happen to see the outside, the exterior of a friendly young girl. It starts because something within wasn't in place. That built-in protection system that we have wasn't in place. And we must bring it into place. By that, it may be a long story to try to bring all our thoughts into the obedience of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 10, we find it speaks of we need to pull down strongholds. We're not going to ask if anyone in here knows what strongholds are, but I trust we all know what strongholds are. Things that we hardly could let go, things that were so strong and attractive. But the Bible tells us we need to break down all strongholds, or these bring these strongholds down, and bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a challenge yet for me today, but I'm glad it's still the challenge. I think it's needful that we recognize that Satan is busy and he does want to enslave men. But brothers here, some of you have families and some of you have other interests also, but we're going to say this, that it is needful that we understand that Satan is real. And one young man said, how do I know that God is real? How do I know that God cares? When he was asked, do you think Satan might be real? And he emphasized, yes, he knows he is real. Well, he said, God is also spirit. God is real. You must give him room in your heart. And another area here we see when a brother invites his sister into a private spot and offers special favors. This is called incest. And also, it is also something that is very important to know within our own house. We remember a certain man coming to our house one day, and he was all worked up. He said, something's going on in our own house right under my own roof, and I didn't know it. And he asked if we would do some work with some family members. So we find this can happen, and we should be aware of what is happening. How do we know it might be happening? We might not know right away, but when we see a special favor thing happening between siblings, maybe you want to be a little bit awake and watchful. We find that other things that cause this to come into play, I choose rather to think loneliness is one of the things that causes a boy to understand or to desire things that he didn't understand. Another thing that causes this is curiosity. But a boy who is given to a lot of loneliness and a lot of isolated times is going to find himself seeking something that's going to somehow satisfy some longing that he don't understand. And I like to express that longing as a time of our physical life, our physical bodies, they grow and they change. We can't help it. It's going to be this way. With that, it's also going to be an emotional change. And with that, at about the same time, it's like the Spirit starts speaking, and it's this spiritual change. Children can look up into the sky and say, oh, how big it seems. And they say, God is up there, and I just don't know. I don't know how to find God. I know things don't seem right, and we're growing up, and we're all mixed up. I like to think of the time that children's growth is more puzzled between trying to do right and trying to figure something out and ending up doing evil is in the teenage years. Going from, this is my opinion, it's not really just something that we can quote from experiences of, but it's something that we see as people talk about them. It seems it was a time of their life where they were unsure about themselves. Sometimes a girl might invite a boy to her, and they would begin to show affection towards each other. So it can also be from the girl's side. A mother said, what causes this? We never thought this would be like this. I believe it was curiosity and isolation that caused some of that. And with that, it was also a marriage that is rocking, that wasn't well. And then we want to also look at D, when a couple urges girls to ride with them. And that was an example in that someone left of the girls in New York State attending a roadside market, and somebody stopped and urged them or forced them into the car. However that was, I'm not sure. But it would have good. It would have been good if they would have run home and said to their parents and said, there's someone out here and it's not, and I'm afraid. They were abducted but later returned, and the couple was arrested. A husband and wife, or at least a man and woman, were arrested for what they had done. Why do these things happen? We find that in curiosity, a boy may reach a thrill. And this tends to grow, always trying to attain to the first thrill. I was impressed when we were at a meeting and someone shared this thought. A boy experiences a thrill, and he is longing. He can spend many years trying to attain to the first thrill. That first time that he experienced something so satisfying to the flesh. And I believe this is something that most people are hesitant to say. But I trust if most men would at least be open to the fact, they would say they know something about this. trying to attain unto the first thrill, trying to come to the place where they see where they have had a longing to pursue this. It didn't seem right. And actually, the knowledge within didn't seem right. And that is why we like to, early in life, have a good basic understanding that some things are okay, some things are not okay. That is basically what we had gathered together. I suppose our time is about expired here. So we will give it back to Bernal here.